The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners, clearpathfinancialpartners.com. And Ryan Kittredge is here with us. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning, Hank.
Let's talk a little bit about something that I hear out there all the time. I'm not sure if people really know exactly what it is. Roth IRA. What is the Roth IRA? How does that differ from other individual retirement accounts?
Absolutely. Roth IRA is a big topic. And as the vehicle itself, really what it is it's a retirement plan, but unique from a tax standpoint. So whereas the typical retirement plan, traditional IRAs, 401ks, 403bs, all of those, there's a bunch of IRS codes and things, but pretty much every other plan, you get a tax deduction when you put that money in for the current year, right? Say you make $100,000 and you contribute $5,000. Well, that $5,000 comes off of your adjusted gross income and you're only taxed on $95,000, right? So you get the tax break up front, and you do pay tax on it eventually when you withdraw it. The Roth is the flip of that. So you put the money in, that same example, that person would still be, if they contributed $5,000 to a Roth IRA, still taxed on their $100,000. I mean, they get their standard deductions and credits and things like that, but that doesn't help them drive down their tax bill in the current year. But all of the growth forevermore, once you withdraw it, as long as you wait 5 years from the first time you open it and you're age 59 and a half, it's all tax-free on the backside. So as a vehicle, it's very popular, especially I think for those that are in lower tax brackets. So if your income is such that you're only in the, let's say, 10 to 12% tax bracket, just pay the taxes and make sure that it's protected, you know, there forward. Or for young people as well, Hank, because if they're sort of in the earlier part of their career, they know it's likely that they will make more as time goes on. It's nice to do the Roth and just sort of hedge that tax liability and say, you know what, I'm just going to pay the known rate today versus leave that question mark, frankly, as to what part is yours and which part's Uncle Sam's, right? Because if you think of a traditional IRA, yeah, you got the, that person who contributing got the deduction each year, it helped them. But then let's say they've got whatever it is, $500,000 in their traditional IRA. Well, that's not all their dollars, right? A portion's theirs, a portion is the government's. It's just sort of determined each year based on their tax brackets.
Ryan, and I know that we're going to talk today about Roth conversions and when it is that somebody should look at that. But what's the difference then with the, or should more people be getting into a Roth IRA than just keeping their money in their traditional 401k that maybe they're contributing at work to?
It's a great compliment. So for most people, it doesn't have to be an either or. Now, depending on the type of job, the source of income, what plan they may have available through their company, and based on their income limits and thresholds, they may or may not have all of those options available. But many people do, and oftentimes you can do both, right? So a lot of sort of a common approach is to contribute to your employer plan to get the full match. Up to that point, potentially maxing it out up to the IRS limits later, but then still being able to do the Roth IRA. So for this year in 2025, the annual contribution amounts are $7,000 or $8,000 if you're over age 50. So that's the annual contribution, and you can do both, and a lot of people do both.
All right, and then so that does lead us then into the Roth conversion, and just as the name implies, I'm converting. I'm taking my funds from maybe that 401k or something that is more traditional, a more traditional IRA, and I'm going to put that into the Roth IRA.
That's right. Exactly. And this is a question we get a lot because our clients typically are people that are wanting to get retirement ready, right? They're there now, but they probably are going to go a few more years, or maybe they are retired and they say, they're probably reading personal finance journals, listening to shows like this. Roth conversions, you know, should we be doing those? I mean, that's literally like one of the most common questions we get, especially from prospective clients, people we don't yet work with, is just, should we be doing those? What I'll say about, I think as a kind of a bold disclaimer, is that unlike some aspects of retirement planning, for instance, claiming when you claim Social Security or which pension option you elect, a lump sum or a monthly annuity, this is not a one-time decision. Those things are really like you do the analysis and then you make a decision and then you live with that decision and then it's done. You never think about it again. Whereas Roth conversions are rarely a one-time decision and you just do it and then it's done. It's more of a process because it really entails a bit of a balancing act, because really what converting money to a Roth IRA from a 401k or a traditional IRA entails is paying that tax bill right there and then, right? So as an extreme example, I've had people that say, hey, I retired, I've got my 401k, it's $900,000, and then I've got some other things here and there. I was just wondering, should I just go ahead and convert that, to a Roth IRA? And it's like, well, no. and pretty much no in that case, because what you would be doing is electing to be taxed as such as if you earned that $900,000 of its taxable ordinary income plus whatever else, you're going to be paying it at the highest rates, right? And then, I mean, geez, like in Mass now, there's the extra tax on $1 million plus of income. You've got, you'll be in the 37%+ federal bracket. So rarely does that make sense, but it is something to sort of look ahead. And it really, it comes down to a lot of subjective pieces, but the big question, or I guess the reason people do it, is for a hedge on taxes, right? So if we say, all right, where are tax rates today relative to where they've been historically? I mean, nobody thinks they're paying, too little in taxes. That said, where, if you would kind of adjust for cost of living, various, tax brackets over time, we're in a little bit of a kind of a historically low tax bracket sort of situation, right? So if we know that tax codes do change, they get rewritten, they get added to, they change. I can't tell you how many times in my 18, 19 year career. I mean, it's like every few years there's a big change, and usually every year there's little changes, right? So, you have to consider what could happen to tax rates in the future. And I think a lot of people would agree that with a government that's snowballing and has been for many years, and where we're running a deficit, on the government debt, well, where do they get that money back from, right? Well, it's taxes. So if that's the case, and especially if you have a substantial amount in these pre-tax plans, you might be thinking, I don't really want to pay, 22 to 24% to withdraw that money in retirement. Well, of course you don't. You'd rather pay zero. But there are times when on, income of, let's say, a couple $100,000, the rates weren't 24 to 32%. They were 45 to 60% or higher. So it is a hedge really against, it's really diversifying your tax exposures and just in really agreeing and being okay with paying some tax bill in advance of when you would need to, right? Because I think the temptation, Hank, especially for a lot of our clients have been really diligent savers. They hate the idea of paying taxes. Right. They hate the idea of, taking money, out of any kind of plan, because they're like, well, I put it there and it's there for the future, right? Well, if you kind of run it forward and you look, and we do cash flow projections for clients, so we're looking at, okay, what's your income? What's it been in recent years? We're reviewing the tax returns, looking at some observations, but then we're piecing together, okay, when this pension kicks in and when Social Security kicks in, then you add on top of it the required distributions from those pre-tax retirement plans. And we have some clients that aren't in a lower tax bracket while in a retirement. They're actually in a higher tax bracket because of all of that income that's they can no longer defer, and it's forced out of these plans. Mm-hmm. So one of the advantages of the Roth, amongst many, is that there are no required distributions. So once you pay that tax rate and you decide how much you're going to convert and you're aware of that tax liability, and then we'll go into some mechanics of it, but that gets to grow tax-free through your entire lifetime and even, you know, for a spouse and then another 10 years for another beneficiary beyond that without, you know, mandatory distribution. So that's really powerful.
Yeah, I can see where some of that could be counterintuitive to people as well, because you always just kind of think, hey, I want to put off paying taxes as long as possible. We're talking about Roth conversion today, and when would it be, and maybe it's not right for you. When would it be right for you? Who is it right for? Who is it not? We're doing it, of course, on the podcast of ClearPath Financial Partners. Find out more at clearpathfinancialpartners.com. Check out some of the past podcasts that we have done at clearpathfinancialpartners.com. Ryan, somebody decides they're going to do the Roth conversion. They've got $1 million in their regular IRA. Do they take the whole $1 million and put that into the Roth? Do they have to take the whole $1 million and put it into the Roth?
So probably not, and no, right? So it's you probably shouldn't do that, because if that's the extent, you know, the $1 million is what you have in pre-tax, it probably wouldn't be smart tax planning to pay on that highest rate, because a lot of that income will be at the 37% plus federal bracket and really erode that balance. So generally, no, and you certainly don't have to do it all at once. So typically what we're looking at is we're managing tax brackets, and we're looking at, okay, well, if you're in the 12% bracket because of these standard deductions, this works especially well, Hank, for those, kind of the sweet spot, I would say, for Roth conversions are those who are semi-retired or retired. Maybe one spouse is retired, the other's still working. Maybe they're kind of scaled down and going part-time, but they're basically have lower income than they did at their peak, you know, of their earnings, but they still have some years before they start claiming Social Security and a pension. So let's call it late 50s, early 60s. That's a beautiful runway to do this, because a lot of times you see those gaps and they may have a lot of room where they can fill up the 12% bracket and let, maybe they convert $40,000 a year, or, you know, you have a sort of a toggle. You kind of etch these things out, but then you have to take it year by year, right? Because there are some people that it really depends on the goal, Hank, right? So I guess let me pause for a minute and say, like, who this isn't for is if someone, the idea of paying taxes is like the most horrible thing that they could endure, then you probably won't like Roth conversions, right? Like, we have a client who they're a great candidate for Roth conversions, okay? Because they saved a lot, they have a lot in IRAs, but they spend very little, right? And they have two sons, and both of them are really high income earners, probably in the higher, you know, highest bracket or two. So they could, it would be, you know, fantastic for their legacy to do Roth conversions, but their view is, I don't want to pay, you know, Uncle Sam a dime more than I have to before I have to, and screw the kids, they'll get what's left. I don't care what they pay in taxes.
Because they're doing fine.
Because they're doing fine. Yeah. And you can't argue with that.
Is it better then if I want to leave things to my heirs, is it better than to have gone and done the converted Roth IRA?
Generally, yes. So the more legacy focused their goal is, plus, you know, here are the things that really give a leaning toward employing this strategy are legacy focused goals, a lot substantial pre-tax assets, you know, relative to what they have overall, right? If you have your house, you've got some money in the bank, and then you've got $1.5 million in IRAs or 401ks, then yeah, and you're sort of skewed in that direction, that could lend to that. And you're in a, you know, relatively low tax bracket compared to what you had been and what you may be in the future, and also, you know, what your heirs may be as well. So those are the, you know, the votes for it. And, but what I mean by sort of you take it year to year are, we have clients that are doing this, you know, each year, right? And we're targeting these tax brackets. We're looking at things, not just tax brackets, but another one that really comes into play with all retiree tax planning are these Medicare premiums. They're called IRMA. It's this really funky acronym. It stands for Income Related Monthly Adjustment Amount. And basically, in short, what it means is that if you're a modified adjusted gross income goes above certain thresholds, you don't just pay the base Medicare premiums, you actually pay a lot more. So basically, instead of your premium being $185 a month, let's say if you're in a, you know, a lower income, well, if a single individual, like, you know, widowed client, divorced client, single client, if they make $200,000, that base premium is increased by $407 a month on top of it. So, I mean, do the math on it, right? That's like $5,000 a year in extra taxes. Now, it's not a tax. It's a Medicare premium adjustment. It's a tax, right? It's just another way that the tax sort of comes into play. So you have to be aware of these different thresholds, and you got to work in between them and come up with what's palatable and what you're willing to do. You also want to make sure that that tax bill that you're going to pay, that you're not paying it from the money you're actually converting, because then you're basically using this super powered, you know, Roth tax-free forever money and using it to pay a tax bill. Much better to pay from, you know, after tax money, not that money that you're converting, right? So those are a couple of the nuances, but you also, life happens and priorities change. And there are some years that, let's say that particular client couple that's doing these conversions, and we've got a sort of a threshold of 40 to 60,000 a year. Well, if one year comes and they need a new car and they want to, you know, IRA money is what they have most readily available, and they take a $60,000 gross IRA withdrawal to net out money to buy a new car, well, maybe that year they don't do a Roth conversion, right? You can skip it, you can minimize it, and it all ties into so many other things as well.
Yeah, and you had said that at the beginning too. I mean, the timing of this seems really to be key. And, you know, whether it is what am I getting from my retirement plan or Medicare, I suppose Social Security then, which is a big factor for so many people. Is it best to do it before Social Security kicks in, or if I do it after Social Security has kicked in for a little while and I'm having less income, is that a better time for me to do the conversion?
That's a great question. Yeah. So totally depends on the expenses and the income sources of the person, obviously. But the sort of the opportunity does not expire once you start getting Social Security. Mm. It still can be a really good time. It's just if you do retire early before those other, you know, pension or Social Security have kicked in, you get almost like a supersized opportunity to do it. But we have a lot of clients that are Roth converting in through their late 60s, in through their early 70s. I don't want to say the party is over, but the opportunity, the window really does close once your required minimum distribution age, right? So that first year, if you have $1 million IRA and you turn 73, that first year factor comes out to roughly 3.65%. Well, that's $36,500. That amount, they don't let you convert that. That is like, no, you're taking it and you're paying the taxes and you can't stuff it back into another tax shelter like the Roth. So you get a better opportunity before that point. But I think any time from retirement, whether it's at age 50, you retire super early, or it's at age 65, 67, you still may have a 6, 7, 8 year window to really make a big difference.
So that longer time horizon is better.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're not taking a longer term view of this, then you just won't do it. Because if your only focus is on the pain of paying the taxes, and you have to write those checks. It's not, you know, this is not made up. Like when we're doing a Roth conversion, we're typically at that point having them, either work it in with their CPA through other withholdings, or we're making the, you know, having them make an estimated tax payment right at that point. So you have to part with the money and it hurts. And what I'll say is the clients that are most happy with this strategy aren't the ones that just did their first Roth conversion last year, because they're like, Jesus, Ryan, like the tax bill, like, why did we do that again? And I'm like, I know, I know. But it's the clients 10 years, 50, I've, you know, probably my longest term client, I think close to 15 years. And she was widowed early, had a lot in pre-tax money. We've very strategically, and it did entail writing those checks, Uncle Sam, working within those brackets, still electing to pay a little bit more tax and jumping into one of the higher premiums, not the $400 a month extra, but the slightly higher ones, you know, 100 and change, couple hundred a month, because the math still worked. Yeah. And now, you know, you look back and she's thrilled because she had nothing in Roth IRA. She has one child who also is doing very well and in a higher bracket. And, you know, she was worried about taxes on her nest egg. And there's well over $1 million in Roth. We didn't convert $1 million, but, you know, with all the growth over the past 10 years, because typically you can invest that a little bit more aggressively, especially if it's money that that person's maybe not even likely to use. The power behind it now, when she looks at what her taxable estate will be, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. And as we start to wrap up here on this edition of the Clear Path Financial Partners podcast, find out more at clearpathfinancialpartners.com. If withdrawing from your 401k or your IRA is part of your overall plan, is it better not to use the converted Roth IRA? Does that matter if I want to take money out of my Roth IRA or out of my 401k in my retirement? Is one better than the other?
So typically, if you're employing this kind of strategy and you're looking at not minimizing your tax bill in this current year, but minimizing it over your lifetime, and especially if you include the legacy value of what you leave behind, if that impact is substantial and you're employing this, typically you're not going to touch the Roth money for income, at least not in those years you're doing conversions. Maybe in RMD years when you're already in a higher bracket and you want some tax-free money so you don't push up into another bracket should you need liquidity. But you're not going to tap that early. You're typically going to use 401k, IRA, or savings. It depends on really the percentage of how much of your nest egg is in these retirement plans versus outside, right? Some people have a lot of their money came from the sale of a business or a property or an inheritance. They may have the IRA, maybe a smaller portion overall. For some people, it's the majority. So to pay the tax bill, you never use the funds that you're converting. If you have to take another withdrawal and just pay the taxes and then have the net amount to then pay the taxes, you do it that way. But never with the converted funds is the rule.
Well, we've been talking about Roth conversions on this episode of Clear Path Financial Partners, a podcast. You can find past episodes at clearpathfinancialpartners.com. You've got more questions about this? Absolutely. Get in touch with Ryan Kittredge, President, Clear Path Financial Partners. Ryan, you'll take care of anybody who wants to know more about Roth conversions. And how's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you can check us out on our website that you've mentioned, clearpathfinancialpartners.com. Or if you submit an inquiry through that, or if you send an email to info@clearpath-fp.com, then I can send you a sort of a checklist and a guide of considerations, pros and cons. And then if you want to chat about, you have specific questions about your situation, I'm happy to chat and answer those.
Very good. Ryan Kittredge, Clear Path Financial Partners, thank you for joining us on this episode of clearpathfinancialpartners.com podcast.
A Roth IRA offers tax deferral on any earnings in the account. Qualified withdrawals of earnings from the account are tax-free. Withdrawals of earnings prior to age 59 and a half or prior to the account being open for 5 years, whichever is later, may result in a 10% IRS penalty tax. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Traditional IRA account owners have considerations to make before performing a Roth IRA conversion. These primarily include income tax consequences on the converted amount in the year of conversion, withdrawal limitations from a Roth IRA, and income limitations for future contributions to a Roth IRA. In addition, if you are required to take a required minimum distribution, RMD, in the year you convert, you must do so before converting to a Roth IRA. Contributions to a traditional IRA may be tax deductible in the contribution year with current income tax due at withdrawal. Withdrawals prior to age 59 and a half may result in a 10% IRS penalty tax in addition to current income tax.